Well, on two occasions, Cheryl and I have enjoyed a vacation week at this quaint, charming, converted boathouse apartment that juts right out into picturesque Lake Seneca, one of the Finger Lakes in upstate New York. And on our first trip up there, I decided in advance to become a fisherman. Well, I don't know. I don't come from a family that has any fishing heritage whatsoever. My father was neither a fisherman nor his father before him. I had fished only a handful of times in my life, but I was enticed by peaceful images of casting a line into some quiet stretch of water, surrounded by leafy trees. I could already feel the stress and tension of life melting away. In preparation for this great adventure, I bought and read the book Fishing for Dummies. Now, that was a great decision because the author assumes that the reader knows absolutely nothing about fishing, which was a safe and altogether correct assumption when it came to me. Well, after reading the book, I went out and I bought a couple of rods and reels. I learned all about bait. I dutifully practiced casting off of the deck in my backyard and successfully hooked the oak tree back there. Now, we had a wonderful vacation at the boathouse on Lake Seneca, and we did catch some fish. Not a lot, but some. Our daughter, Kelsey, caught the most fish that week, but I want you to know today that I caught the biggest fish of all. A nice foot-long bass, which I actually filleted myself. Cheryl grilled to perfection, and we all ate with feelings of immense triumph. Well, this morning, I'm concluding a series of messages on missional metaphors found in the Bible. The fact is that every follower of Jesus has been called to mission, whether or not you ever leave Central Ohio, cross an ocean, learn another language. You're called to be missional. And what does that word mean? Well, it simply means being available to point people to Jesus for salvation and for transformation with your lips, giving a verbal witness, or with your life, how you live it, every day in every conceivable situation of life. You're just looking for those opportunities. You're available to God for Him to use you. Now, there is a very real connection between fishing and being missional. And it was Jesus who first made that connection by talking about fishing in a metaphorical way. And I want to look at the Bible passage that bears that out. The context is Jesus, very early in his ministry, inviting the men who would become his group of 12 disciples. So grab your Bible, if you would. Turn with me to Matthew 4. Please use the blue pew Bibles if that's more convenient for you today. And I want to read just a few verses there. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. So let's listen carefully to God's word today. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So this morning, I'd like to ask and try to answer one question. How is fishing like being missional? And here's perhaps one answer. Let's start off with this one. Both require patience and perseverance. I learned some things about fishing that week of vacation. For one thing, if you like fast-paced activity with quick and constant results, don't take up fishing. It requires lots of patience and perseverance. My opinion after that week of fishing is that a lot of people take up fishing because it gives them an excuse to do something else. Be outside, enjoy nature, goof off. You could say fishing is just being lazy with a purpose. Of course, there are people who get quick results. You know, they throw in the line and almost immediately a fish jumps on it. I hate them. But that's the exception. That's not the rule. Fishing can be downright discouraging a lot of the time. I learned that. It can be the wrong season of the year. It can be the wrong time of day. It can be the wrong rod or reel, whatever. Successful fishing demands that you keep on fishing with patience and perseverance, and you don't get discouraged and quit. And reaching out to lost people, people who have never given their hearts and lives to Christ, reaching out to those kind of people with the message of who Jesus is and what he's done, it's like that. It requires patience and perseverance. And sure, there are times when it takes very little effort to lead someone to Jesus. God has so prepared his or her heart that becoming a follower of Jesus is like catching a fish in a tank with a net. It just happens. But that's the exception. It's not the rule. Most of the time, there's a process in becoming a follower of Jesus. And for many people, it's a lengthy process. And you discover that, you know, you have to pray repeatedly for someone to become a follower of Jesus. Or you discover it takes months, even years, to cultivate a relationship with that person. It might involve numerous conversations, some of which are frankly frustrating and discouraging. And reaching out to lost people can feel like sometimes like nothing is happening at all, just like fishing. Now, here's the difference, though. Many times when you're fishing, nothing is happening. All the fish are on the other side of the lake, or they've gone on vacation themselves. But it's different in being missional. God says that he will not allow his word to come back to him without some kind of eternal effect. He says in his word, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And God uses a variety of contacts and conversations, experiences, events to bring a person to himself. And you might encourage someone to become Jesus's follower right at the beginning of their spiritual journey. They're not ready to accept Christ. This is just the beginning of their journey toward him. Or you might meet up with somebody in the middle of that journey. I believe that every person that I've had the privilege to pray with to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior has been brought to that moment by a loving and a gracious God, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. It was certainly a whole lot more about God than it was about me. And so you see, it may take many months and even many years. So don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on praying for the lost people in your life. Keep on intentionally building those relationships with them. Keep on looking for those opportunities to share with lost people what Jesus means to you and why. Your efforts are not wasted. I like the story of an old man who was walking the beach at dawn, and he noticed this younger man ahead of him picking up starfish that had just washed up on the shore and flinging them back into the ocean. Just, there was all these starfish all over the beach. And he caught up with this younger man, and he asked him, you know, what he was doing. And the answer was pretty obvious. He was throwing these stranded starfish back into the ocean before the morning sun hit them, and they baked literally there on the beach. And the old man just kind of shrugged his shoulders, and he said, well, you know, the beach goes on for miles here, and there's all these starfish. How is your effort going to make any difference? And that young man looked at the starfish in his hand, and then he threw it into the waves. And then he simply said, it makes a difference to that one. And your witness makes a difference to the person that you share it with. You know, as a pastor, I've had the distinct privilege over the years to hear about and see the spiritual journey of so many people. And what I have realized is this: God Himself is like this patient, persevering fisherman. And He gets His hook into your life at some point. And He often lets you swim down this little stream of life experience or down that little river of life experience. And occasionally, you know, He kind of gives you a tug to remind you that He's there. And then at some point in time, in some set of circumstances, He sets the hook and He begins to reel you in. I've seen that time and time and time again. How is fishing like being missional? Well, secondly, both require wisdom. Both require wisdom. I learned that principle in Fishing for Dummies. The author stressed the point that if I wanted to learn how to fish, I had to just learn some stuff. In other words, I had to develop wisdom. I had to learn about the best times of day to fish, what areas in a given body of water fish usually prefer, when to cast, when not to cast. And successful fishing apparently comes from developing an eye for just, you know, kind of the right moment. I must have missed the right moment a lot of times up there at Lake Seneca, because there were long periods of time when I didn't catch any fish. In fact, most of the fish that we caught that vacation week weren't actually caught in Lake Seneca. We went over to the National Forest where they had stocked fish ponds. It was a lot better fishing over there. So whether it's catching fish or pointing people to Jesus, you can only ever gain wisdom through actual experience. If you want God to help you learn how to reach lost people with the good news about Jesus successfully, folks, it's just going to require some wisdom on your part. You just have to learn some things. That there are times when a lost person will welcome the truth about Jesus. There's going to be times when they resist it with all their might. There's going to be times when they're receptive. There's going to be times when their hearts are really hard. Wisdom involves observing and being sensitive to what makes a person tick so you can approach him or her in a way that he or she understands. Wisdom involves a proper sense of timing, what to say and when to say it, what to do, when to do it. Requires wisdom. Well, how else is fishing like being missional? Well, thirdly, may I suggest to you that both require the right bait. The right bait. Before I read Fishing for Dummies, I had no idea of all the different kinds of bait that's out there. I mean, it is incredible. It is a whole other world, folks, I'm telling you. There's all sorts of live bait. I mean, there's worms and minnows and crawfish and insects. And then there's the whole world of artificial bait with all these exotic names like plugs, chuggers, stick bait, jerk bait, spoons, spinner baits, jigs. On and on it goes. And there's all sorts of preferences and prejudices and superstitions when it comes to bait and which are better for catching fish and all that kind of stuff. And you see, apparently, fish are pretty picky when it comes to bait. It has to be the right bait at the right time, presented in the right way. Or forget it. We were told by the locals up there at Lake Seneca that the very best bait was a small little minnow called a sawbelly. So, of course, we went out and bought a lifetime supply of sawbellies. You know how many fish we caught with the sawbellies? We learned the hard way that the old reliable night crawler or earthworm worked best on that trip. You know, there's many good ways to point people to Jesus. And here's two important principles to remember. One, God has many ways to reach lost people. He has an almost infinite variety of spiritual bait that is at his disposal. And folks, unless it's unethical, don't write off any method. Two, God is most apt to use your own unique gifts and personality, how you're wired up, to help you reach the lost people in your own circle of influence. And I just kind of thought about six kinds of spiritual bait that God can use. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but just to give you an idea of some of the variety. You might call the first kind of bait the confrontational approach. I think of this as sort of the Billy Graham right between the eyes, get right with God or else approach. You know what I mean. And frankly, not many Christians have this kind of a gift, and a lot of people don't respond to this approach, but it can most definitely be effective. It's the ability just to speak the truth boldly to lost people and challenge them to follow Christ. Secondly, there's the intellectual approach. Some people like to hear the good news of Jesus in a very rational, very logical way with lots of evidence. I think of Lee Strobel's books, The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, as good examples of just explaining to people that it makes sense to be a follower of Jesus. A third kind of bait might be called the testimonial approach. You know, some lost people just really respond to the story of how God is at work in the life of a follower of Jesus. They get moved and challenged by that. And they want to know why and how following Jesus can transform their own everyday lives. And the spiritual fisherman or fisherwoman doesn't challenge or argue when they're using the testimonial approach. They just share what Jesus means to them personally and why. A fourth kind of bait might be called interpersonal. I mean, these are just you know, the warm kind of people-oriented followers of Jesus. They use this approach all the time. And probably everybody needs to use this kind of bait to some extent. But some people just specialize in it. You know, these are the people that just do the long talks over cups of coffee. And they listen patiently to a friend's problem without trying to fix him or her, or they share a meal together. They invite someone over to their home. They're all about interpersonal relationships. A fifth kind of bait might be called invitational. I mean, these followers of Jesus just have a knack for knowing how and when to invite someone to a worship service or maybe an outreach event or a Christian concert. They just have their radar up for that kind of thing. And then finally, there's what you might call the service approach. And these kinds of Jesus followers, they just love to serve other people. It's how God has wired them up. And they notice needs in the lives of lost people that others don't see, and they just find great joy in meeting those needs. And in meeting those needs, they have an opportunity to share Christ. And these spiritual fishermen and fisherwomen just express caring and compassion through action, through service of some kind. Well, there's many others, but I think you get the idea. How is fishing like being missional? Well, fourthly, both require willingness, not credentials. I like Mark Twain's definition of fishing. He said, fishing is a jerk at one end of the line waiting for a jerk on the other end. That's not bad. I want to suggest to you that fish could care less who's trying to catch them. Doesn't really matter if you're a jerk or if you're nice. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated, whether you're a fishing expert or a reader of Fishing for Dummies. It doesn't require credentials to catch a fish. Just willingness, desire. And I believe, folks, that here again, followers of Jesus just get hung up. All too often, we unconsciously assume that only professional evangelists like a Billy Graham or, you know, pastors of churches or missionaries who go overseas, somehow only they have the credentials or the right or the ability to point people to Jesus. Wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. The story that we read this morning proves the point. The very men that Jesus called to be his group of 12 disciples, not one of them was a religious professional. Not one of them was a rabbi or a priest. Several of them were literally fishermen by occupation, as we saw from our text today. Well, one was a tax collector. Another was a political operative. None of them were from rich or influential families. And the story of the spread of the Christian faith over some 20 centuries now is very revealing indeed. All God needs is ordinary followers of Jesus who are willing to be used by him and for him. And God can do anything and everything through people who are just extraordinarily surrendered to him. And the single greatest requirement to be a good fisherman is willingness. The single greatest requirement to be a good spiritual fisherman or fisherwoman is willingness. Well, how else is fishing like being missional? Well, may I suggest a fifth and final answer? Both require action. Both require action. For 1 year, I had a valid New York State fishing license. I don't have an Ohio fishing license. That's because I've rarely gotten around to actually fishing in Ohio for the 28 years that I've lived here. I've still got 2 fishing rods and reels. I still have a tackle box with hooks and lures and other impressive gizmos in there. I've still got the book Fishing for Dummies somewhere. I am quite the fisherman, am I not? Well, I think you and I both know the real situation. Unless I get out there and I fish, I'll never really learn how to fish. And I'll never catch any fish. Fishing requires action. I need to actually go out there and do something to be a successful fisherman. I need to fish. Have you ever heard the old expression, it's time to either fish or cut bait? In other words, there's a difference between sitting around all day cutting up and preparing bait and the actual act of fishing. Fishing requires that you put the bait on the hook and you put the hook into the water. And there's a difference between preparation and action. And oh, how true that is at a spiritual level as well. When it comes to pointing people to Jesus for salvation and for transformation, there has to come a time when you move beyond talking about it and reading about it and preparing for it, and you actually go out and you do it. You swallow your reservations, you get out of your comfort zone, you take a risk, and you reach out. You get intentional and you act. I love the reported exchange between D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 1800s, and another man. This guy was criticizing and giving Moody a hard time for the way that he, Moody, pointed people to Jesus. He just didn't like it, didn't think it was appropriate. And Moody listened courteously to this man's objections for a while. And then he asked him, he said, well, how do you do it? In other words, how do you point people to Jesus? And at that point, the man became immediately embarrassed and mumbled that he didn't do it at all. Well, said Moody thoughtfully, I prefer the way I do it to the way that you don't do it. How do you get started with this whole thing of pointing people to Jesus? Begin praying for the specific people in your circle of influence, the people in your family, the people in your neighborhood, the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, that don't know Jesus in a personal, saving way. However you make a list, whether it's a literal one or just in your head, you start getting personal and specific about the people that God has put in your life that don't know Him. You look for any and every opportunity to cultivate and grow those relationships with those people. You learn how to share verbally what Jesus has done for you, simply and briefly, so that if you get the opportunity to share with that individual, you've got something, you've got kind of a track to run on. It doesn't you don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You have to be able just to share, what does Christ mean to you? What's He done for you? And be able just to verbalize that to other people. The best way to learn how to fish is just to fish. The best way to learn how to point people to Jesus is just to begin pointing people to Jesus. Well, Rick, aren't I going to make mistakes? Well, of course you'll make mistakes. Am I going to fail at times? Of course you will fail at times. But my friend, if you are patient and persevering, if you gain some wisdom over time, if you learn what kind of spiritual bait to use, what works for you as a person, if you're willing above all else, and if you get out there and you act, I know God will use you to point people to Jesus for salvation and for transformation. And Jesus says that if you're His follower, you are, like it or not, accept it or not, agree with it or not, you are in fact a spiritual fisherman. That's who you are. And so the real question, folks, is this one. What kind of a fisherman, what kind of a fisherwoman are you? You know, all of this has personal individual application. It also has, I believe, application to us as a church. Again, you've heard it this morning, and I just want to put it in the context. Come out and be a part of the Northland Festival sometime this afternoon, and certainly if you can make it for the service at 4:30. We need and it's going to be a service for a lot of different churches. We're all coming together to have a joint community service. And you know how it works, folks. If you're at some kind of event and you see a whole bunch of people over there, you're more apt to go over and see what's going on. And so we need you, frankly, to come out and be critical mass for us and with us as we have that service. And who knows? who God might bring in and was going to hear the singing or hear a prayer or hear a message. One of our own members, Ed Kapustin, who is himself an international from Russia, is going to be sharing his personal testimony at that service this afternoon. Ed's going to be fishing. Carl Road Baptist Church and other churches in our community are going to be fishing. Come and join us as we fish this afternoon. Another way that you can fish is coming up next month. You've been hearing again about all month long the Wednesday night club program. We're trying to get intentionally relational in what we're doing on Wednesday nights. You know, folks, the fact is we don't really need a lot of people who can prepare lessons. What we do need is a lot of people who can just be friends. Friends to kids, friends to adults, and parents who come. And all I'm asking you to do is just, you pick up that care form. You say, I don't know what to put on there. Just say Wednesday night. You may not know what you want to do or what all the options are. We'll explain that to you. We'll help you figure out maybe where would be a good fit for you. But every Wednesday night, starting September 12th, our church is going fishing. And we need you to help us come and fish. So just say, okay, I'm in. Just put it on your care form, and we'll be in touch with you about that. If a fisherman never fishes, is he really a fisherman? If a church never points people to Jesus, is it really a church? Once upon a time, there was a group of people who called themselves fishermen. And they lived in a part of the country where streams and rivers abounded. And fish were just swarming abundantly in all of those waters. And week after week and month after month and year after year, that group of fishermen would get together and they would talk about fishing. And they would discuss fishing. And they would get all refined in their understanding of fishing. And they would talk about how fishing was the most honorable vocation that they could ever pursue, and how their primary calling in life was to fish. There was just one problem. They never actually went out and fished. Oh, now, I want to tell you, they put together some pretty amazing national, even worldwide events that took the whole subject of fishing to another level. There were scholarly papers presented on fishing. And there were all sorts of demonstrations of new fishing equipment. And there were reports on all the new fishing bait that had been discovered. And committees were appointed, and staff was hired, and further definitions and discussion of fishing went on. In fact, there was research presented on new streams and new rivers where more fish were located that they might go and fish on in the future. But nobody actually fished. Oh, now they built elaborate buildings for teaching people how to fish. And there were courses and there were classes on the needs of fish, the care and feeding of fish, how fish are put together, how to approach fish. And these classes went on and on, and some of the teachers, they had earned doctorates in fishology. But they didn't actually fish either. They just taught fishing. And year after year after year, graduates came out who all had their fishing license. But they didn't fish either. One day a young fisherman went to a meeting in which there was a very stirring presentation about the importance of fishing. And he actually went out that night and he did something remarkable and amazing. Do you know what he did? He fished. And he came back the next morning with a report of not just one, but two outstanding fish that he had caught. And all the other fishermen were appropriately overjoyed at this news, and they couldn't stop honoring this and congratulating this fellow on his achievement. And so they got him speaking to different groups and different fishing clubs about how to fish. And pretty soon, he was so busy speaking to other groups about his success in fishing that he himself had no opportunity to fish anymore. Besides, he did have to serve on the General Board of Fishing International so that everyone else could benefit from his considerable experience and success. My dear friends, the application to you and to me, I'll let you make it. If a church never points anyone to Jesus, is it really a church? And if you, as a follower of Jesus, and if I, as a follower of Jesus, never point people to Jesus, are we really followers of Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we have been hearing messages about being missional. And Lord, I know for myself, I'm convicted by these messages myself. I'm not as missional as I should be and need to be. And I confess that to you and to this group. Father, sometimes we forget that the business of the church is not church business. The business of the church is always and forever pointing people to Jesus for salvation and transformation. Father God, help our church move in that direction. Help us as individuals to move in that direction. As eyes are closed this morning, as we're in an attitude of prayer, it's very possible that there are people in our time of worship here today, and you've been kind of listening to this and wondering, what does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? And I have the great privilege today of letting you know that God loves you. God wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend every moment of this life with you. But all of us have a problem. It's called sin. It's all the things that we've done that are wrong. It's also the things that we have failed to do that we know we should have. We all have a sin problem. And God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's what sin earns. It earns death. And so Jesus took our places on the cross. He was our substitute there. He died in our place. And then he rose again from the dead. And the Bible says that if we put our trust in him, for this life and the next. He'll come. He'll forgive us of our sins. He will establish an eternal relationship between ourselves and God. That's really the message about Jesus, very briefly. And as we're just praying together as a group of people here for worship, I just want to lead in a prayer. I know sometimes coming forward is very awkward. And so I'm just going to ask us as we're here in prayer, if you would like to pray a prayer with me to accept Christ, I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to lead out in a prayer. And in your own heart, I just want you to pray that prayer with me and after me. I'm going to say a phrase, and then you just, in your own heart, repeat that phrase. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I thank you that you still love me. I thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross for my sins, I accept his gift of salvation. I ask that you forgive my sins. And I receive from you just now the gift of eternal life. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.